Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to A Call from the Foxhole. I'm Jason Searle, and I'm from Wichita, Kansas, and I have the honor of being chairman of Capon's Men, a group that was formed about 6 or 7 years ago from Kansas, following in the footsteps of Servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a simple parish priest from Pilsen, Kansas, in the Diocese of Wichita, who volunteered to be a chaplain and then subsequently became the most highly decorated Army chaplain in United States Army history, receiving the Medal of Honor, and whose cause is currently being considered by the Vatican for canonization. Celebrated Father Capon's birthday on Monday. He was born in 1916, and in a remarkable young life at the age of 35, he perished after volunteering to be a chaplain and being captured with his men after being ordered to retreat. He made this decision to accompany his men and to stay with them in the battle, and was captured by the North Korean and Chinese and died in a prisoner of war camp. A little bit about Capon's Men real quick. Our group's principally founded upon men's faith formation, and we follow the principles of fellowship, conversion, faith, leadership, and most of all, accompaniment. We know that we're resurrection people, as Easter teaches us, but we also know that in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told by the Lord very specific instructions that we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And we found over the several years modeling Father Capon's action, who is a wonderful example of Christ's love for one another, that we're better off if we help each other carry our crosses. So in this time of darkness, we started these calls from the foxhole to help usher in a little light to one another and help each other out. And carry each other's crosses. So in doing that, we're very honored and pleased, privileged this morning to have our good friend Joe Ferris, who's been a wonderful friend of Capon's Men, a good friend of mine. And Joe's going to introduce here Congressman Greg Murphy from the 3rd District, North Carolina, who's volunteered to be in the foxhole with us and tell us how he's handles his faith and what it means to him. And so without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to our friends Joe and Greg, and welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Jason. It is a beautiful day here in Northern Kentucky. It's 37 degrees, a little chilly, and it is an honor to be back and an honor to be talking to everyone. I tend to get to these calls a little bit early and watch the sunrise, and I prayed for everyone and continue to pray. I think we're in week 6 here in Kentucky. And it's certainly been a unique time for us as individuals. I want to jump into this a little quick, mainly because I know my good friend Greg Murphy has a lot to say, and I also know that we're all going to get a lot of encouragement from what he has to say. Greg texted me earlier and said he had a verse he wanted to share to get us started. So I'm going to let Greg share that verse. I'll say a little prayer, and then we'll jump into the encouragement. So, Greg, I know you're over there. It's good to be with you, and I'll let you in a minute introduce yourself more fully to everyone. So let's start with a little bit of prayer.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you guys for having us. Let's just bow our head in just a moment of reflection. I'm going to read from Psalm 23, 1 through 6, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long."
Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be on this call with Greg. I thank you, Lord, for men all over the country who've logged on this morning. And God, I just pray that our time is blessed. I pray that we can be courageous. I pray that, Lord, wherever you've placed us in this, we can lead with the confidence that only you can give us, Lord. I pray for Greg, and I pray for all of the men who serve our country and women who serve our country as congressmen and congresswomen. And I just pray, God, that you are close to us during this time. Help us to be still, help us to be strong, and help us, most importantly, to be yours. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Greg, you are my good friend, but I know there are people that have logged on and maybe don't know exactly who you are. So I'd love it if you just could take a minute or two and just share with us a little bit about how you got to this place as a member of the United States House of Representatives, and share a little bit of that story if you don't mind.
Thank you, Joe. Beautiful prayer. You know, I gave that just reflection, especially today in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, that our Lord does give us hope. Father Lanzareth called us upon us last week to be messengers of hope. So I hope that just brings a message down home. So how did I get to where I am? That's a good question. you know, I guess when we make plans about our life, God just kind of chuckles and said, hey, watch this. I grew up in Raleigh. Went to a little college named Davidson College. I taught the basketball coach, had a coach and recruit, and he was able to get a guy named Steph Curry to come there. And so I ended up at UNC for medical school. And if Mark Delasega is on the line, this again is another year that Duke had a great recruiting class and failed to win the national championship. You know, seriously, I went off medical school. I've become a surgeon. My family, we've been in Greenville, North Carolina now for 26 years. I've been very, very happy being a physician my entire life. I've felt that this is what God called me to do. I have three grown children and a wife of 29 years and very, very blessed. You know, I've tried to carry out the mission that Christ called us to do, to serve one another. I actually started in medical mission work when I was 20 years old. I thought God was calling me to be a full-time medical missionary. I went when I was 20 years old by myself, never been out of the country before, but went and spent a month, a summer in India. I met Mother Teresa on the way, and I worked in the leprosy hospital in one of the poorest sections of India. God had a different plan. I did not end up being a full-time medical missionary, but I have done medical mission work throughout the world since then. And I will tell you, you know, we'll talk about in a little bit, I've been through Africa, you know, all the parts of the Caribbean, many other places. And one of the greatest moments of my life was to take a group down to Haiti right after the earthquake in 2010. And it was a period of devastation, unlike anything else. And I feel like this is where Father Capon was just, you know, at his finest, because it was a period of devastation, and trying to bring hope to people then was what we're called to do. And while I was in Haiti, I met who I think is really the most remarkable person I have ever met. And he is a Catholic priest from Connecticut. And he's been down there now over 30 plus years. Also is a doctor. And he's a living example of what I believe we are called to be, devoted to the Spirit of Christ. And I look at Father Capon, and he was the same thing. I see so many similarities between those two sets. And so anyway, you know, God had a different plan for me about 5 years ago. I was minding my own business being a surgeon. We had a opening in our state legislature, and I did not raise my hand. My hand was raised for me to be the only physician in our General Assembly. And I went in because I felt that that was a calling, and I served taking care of the medical needs. I was the only doctor in 170 members in our entire General Assembly. And then, you know, I had taken care of our congressman, our former congressman, as a patient. We developed a friendship, but he became a political mentor to me. And then a year plus ago, he said he was going to retire, and he asked me to prayerfully consider running for office. And so I told him I would, but that time was way ahead. But unfortunately, Congressman Jones developed Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and he died very quickly. And so it was thrust upon, the decision was thrust upon me, and my wife and I prayed a lot about it, and we threw our name in the hat, and after four elections in 10 months, I ended up a member of Congress on September 17th this past year. It's been challenging since then, I will tell you this. Quite an auspicious time to be in Congress, lower down to impeachment and then COVID-19, but we're all called to service. And so, Joe, that's how I got where I am.
Well, I know on behalf of all of us, we appreciate your service and the work you're doing. And I know you mentioned to me earlier you're heading toward D.C. at some point this morning again to get back to work. You mention a lot in your story, Greg, these little moments like where God sends you to India and then Haiti and other places. It's clear to me that, that faith has always been a big part of your story, and I've known you for a long time as well. Can you share with us a little bit about maybe how that happened and some places where it sort of played out in for you kind of in the day-to-day and even in just as you've grown as a man, as a husband, as a father? Do you mind breaking some of that open for us a little bit?
No, I would love to. You know, we all have our story, and everybody's story is a unique one, and it's rooted in experiences and faith and culture. My story really began, I guess, when I was very young. My dad died when I was young. I was 9 years old when he first became sick, and he was very sickly for about 7 years ago and died the second day I was a junior in high school. It was a very hard time for me. My parents were devout Catholics, but, you know, when you're 16 years old and your father's taken away from you, it's a hard time in life. And I will tell you, I questioned a lot. We had a very good parish priest, but it was a hard time. And so I spent a lot of time in discernment. You know, you question things. You say, well, gosh, you know, if this is what the world God wants us to be in, why is that? And so, you know, I look at sentinel moments in my life. You know, when I went off to college, it was really interesting because I went to Davidson, as I said, which is a Presbyterian school. And I got asked many times, which really surprised me, about my Catholic faith. I even had one person ask me, is Catholic Christian? And I just kind of responded, we're the guys that invented it. But, you know, at being at that point, it was hard. And so I will tell you, there's one sentinel event. I was on a scholarship at Davidson. And it paid for a summer journey, a Christian journey. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was in charge of the Catholic ministry at Davidson. I was the student person. And I came back early the winter of my sophomore year, and I had read a book by Dr. Paul Brandt. It was about his life as a medical missionary in India, and I still at that point did not know what I wanted to do. And I came back early, and it was the Jesuits that helped us at Davidson, and I met and had dinner with our Jesuit priest, and he had a friend that he brought who was taking a break. And by the grace of God, you know, we talk about instances. He was from India, and he worked with Dr. Brand. Now, I don't take that as coincidence. I take that as divine intervention. And so he really didn't. I said, well, bam, you know, my eyes lit up. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to serve. And he really tried to talk me out of it, going to India, because it was such a tough place, and I would not be deterred. And so, you know, I didn't do that full time. But it was definitely God's hand intervening and saying, look, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to experience. And, you know, we see so much from Father Capone's life that he never backed away from challenges. He embraced them. And that's where we find where we can be messengers of hope. It is in those challenging times that we look into the eyes of other individuals and we see their suffering. And we see how we can be merciful to them. You know, I take off my congressional hat because I still feel that the hat that I wear the most is as a physician. And, you know, I saw some patients yesterday. And, you know, when you tell somebody that you have cancer, you look in their eyes and you see how it is so devastating. And, you know, we're called to reach out to those individuals. We're called to reach out to people in need. And that's just what Father Capone did. He embraced the suffering. He made sure that he went with his men to be imprisoned, and he met them where they were to serve them. And so, you know, I look back on certain events, and that's what we're called to do. We're called, no matter how hard it is, we're called to serve, and we're called to meet our fellow man where they are. And so, you know, those are a couple things. You know, I will tell you, and I'll go back again, and I know at least one or two people on the line went down with us to Haiti. That was really another sentinel event in my life where you really see that people who are at their basic level are so challenged, and we're supposed to meet them where they are. And so, you know, we always, in my opinion, I always get much, much more from serving than I receive. And so, you know, just with Father Capone, he embraced his mission. And I love his last words when he said to his men that he's going to where he's always wanted to go. And that's where we should always want to go. So,
praise the Lord. Now that's beautiful, Greg. Thank you for all. I also was thinking, you and I have spent some time in travel, and I know you like to travel, not just in service, but you've been, I want to say you've been to Rome. I know you and I went to the Holy Land together, and I know a lot of people hear that and they think, oh, that must be Cincinnati to Paul Brown Stadium, and clearly we didn't do that. But we went to the Holy Land in Rome. Have those trips kind of helped inform your faith and maybe even inspired or encouraged you during all of this?
Yeah, Joe, I've been to Rome several times. I think the first time is when I went to confession, Father Justin, you know, our dear friend, Father Justin. And after 2 hours in the confession booth, Father Justin said, look, I can't handle this. You need to go to Rome to be able to handle this stuff. And so, I've loved the pilgrimages that we've taken. You know, when you feel like you put a key into a lock, it's when, in my opinion, when you walk into, you know, one of our holy churches, especially those in Rome, where you know that for centuries and centuries, people have come to be part of the body of Christ. And, you know, it's sometimes hard in this very secular world in which we live to find that lock and key. I will tell you there are a group, it's a bipartisan group, men and women in Washington, D.C. We meet every Thursday morning for a prayer breakfast, and we knock down our political barriers, and we know that we are just one body in Christ praying for our nation, praying for the people that we serve. I've been very, very happy with that up there. You know, it's also very nice because there are a lot more Catholics in D.C. than in Eastern North Carolina. You know, there are a lot of us walking around on Ash Wednesday with crosses on our foreheads, many more than I see in Eastern North Carolina, just because Catholicism is so much more prevalent. So, you know, we're all beneficiaries of the people that we have had the blessings to be with. I feel like I sure am one. You know, your friendship, Joe, and the other folks that I've worked with, we see saints in our midst, and it's a constant reminder of how we're called to greatness in the body of Christ, and it's really, really a beautiful thing.
Now, just along that line, Greg, are there any, I know you've mentioned Father Capon a couple times, I know you probably have some devotion to saints, and you used Psalm 23 at the beginning of our time together. Are there a couple scriptures or saints that you kind of lean in and probably the last few months have heavily leaned in on? Are you comfortable sharing a little bit of that with us?
Sure. You know, the last several months have been very, very hard. I look at St. Jude. You know, it is something that we always, we feel like sometimes things are lost. And we have to keep moving on, keeping a step forward. You know, I look at, you know, we have our named saints and then we have our unnamed saints, people that we know who are just living today with us, a life of Christ. I will just share with you, I have one particular nurse practitioner that I work with, and she's not Catholic, but she needs to be. I look at the saintly life that she leads. You know, we can have our historical saints, and we can look at the stories that they teach us with their life. But then we also have saints that we know here on earth that are truly going through tough times, but they do it cheerfully, and they do it to try to reach out to where we are. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, we're all beneficiaries from the life of Father Capon. He gave us a stirring example of devotion, devotion to one another, devotion to duty. He talked to us about tolerance, understanding. You know, when he said to his captors, "Forgive them, Father, that they know not what they do." You know, that's bravery. That's a bravery that we just are not witness to in our normal life. We're facing, as he did, a nation that is embracing godlessness, especially now in this time of tragedy, that we believe more rather than that we're in control rather than that God's in control. And, you know, again, Father Capon told us that, or taught his men how much he loved them and how he realized that God was in control regardless of the challenges that we faced. And so, you know, he was a treasure to lean upon. He was a treasure for us to embody, or for us to see as an embodiment of Christ on earth. And it's those kind of individuals, you know, not only in our past but in our present, that I'm comforted by on a daily basis. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, but
no, I think we all get encouraged certainly by these stories of hope, in particular in this time we're in now. I know you've talked a lot about the big picture, right? The praying in Congress with men and women in Congress and Eastern North Carolina, and as a physician, I'm always curious, Greg. I know you're a humble man, and I'm sure you're kind of uncomfortable bringing it down to the total personal level. But my wife and I are also friends with you and Wendy, and I taught some of your children. And I know a lot of us, like, we're struggling out here, holding it together in our homes, trying to lead our families. And you mentioned Father Lansworth a couple times and Messengers of Hope. Are there any things that you're kind of leaning on as a father in this to lead your family in faith and to walk with your children and to kind of keep them encouraged moving forward? Like, I'd love to just, because I look up to you not only as a congressman and as a doctor, but as a father. Like, I see the way you father and lead your family. So would you just share a little bit of that with us and maybe give us a little bit of encouragement about how you see us moving through this with faith as our guide?
Sure. You know, I think we as men are called to be leaders of our family. You know, I know I've made my mistakes. Oh, my gosh, I've made my mistakes. And if I could have do-overs, I wish we all could have that do-over button. But I think you have to lead and with a sense of purpose that we know it's going to work out. We know this is the pathway that is the one that moves forward. You know, I'll readily admit, as I said, I wish a lot of do-overs. There were some things that, you know, I look back and I led with pure determination, and I didn't lead quite the right way. But I think now, and you know what, my kids are grown. They're in different parts of our state. Actually, one's not too far from you, Joe. She's up in Lexington. But tell them that there is light from this. You know, our new generation now doesn't know really hardship. They've grown up in a very, very easy world. They're an instantaneous society. They click a button, boom, they can get something on their phone. You and I, not so much, and our parents before us, definitely not so much. It is just a message of hope and resolution that everything will be okay, that the world will not come to an end. There are struggles in life. This is one of the struggles that we've had. And so, you know, again, I don't surely get everything right and get frustrated when I don't, but it's just being a leader, I think, to our family and doing it with one of purpose, but also of love at the most basic level, that we believe that Christ and God is in charge of all of this, regardless of what we mere men do.
Yeah, I think on behalf of all the Capons men, Greg, I know I want to assure you that we're praying for you and that we're thinking about you and that we see you as someone who's doing some great work, not only for our country, but even as a Catholic representative in kind of a crazy place. So I just want to say to everyone, we can pull a lot of things from these times. And I think I heard loudest in what Greg was saying to me as we were chatting today, just the idea of service to others. The idea of service, and at this point, as we've been saying over and over again in this call, we're quarantined, we're in our homes, and in this moment, God is calling us to serve the people that maybe for a couple, 3 or 4, even 10 years, we've just been leaving every day to go do a lot of other things. In my case, I've been traveling all over the place, and I'm finding that the ministry I'm called to do is with my bride and with my 5 children that are home. I have one in North Carolina. And I think, and further than that, it's just the confidence in God. Like, we worship a big God. Father Lazarus said last week, and he spoke into this fact, we are a resurrected people. And praise the Lord for those two things. So, Greg, I thank you a tremendous amount for everything you've done. And I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for your leadership. And I want to assure you of our prayers. And thank you again. I'm going to hand this back to Scott. And I know he has a few things to announce on the back end of this and also to announce next week's guest. So thank you, and thanks, Greg, for your time.
Well, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Scott. I'm going to have to actually drop off the line for another one. But thank you for the opportunity. God bless all of you. We will get through this. It's going to take time and perseverance, but we know we have a strong God, and we have a willing people. So thank you again.
Amen.
This is Jason Searle once again, and thanks for joining us. And Joe, thanks for inviting Greg on. What a wonderful guest he was, and great insight. I think there's tons of thought-provoking questions in there for us to walk away with here. So we're excited next week on the same time, 1 week from now, 6:30 Central Time. We're going to have Father Matt Palakowski. He's the head chaplain of West Point, and he's just a remarkable soldier, priest, and servant leader. And he's Father Palakowski has joined us on the Father Capon pilgrimage several years back before he went to West Point. When he was the chaplain at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, he brought several chaplains up from Fort Sill, talked to some of the guys at the Big Red One in Fort Riley, Kansas, to come down. And we all met in Wichita, and Father Palakowski has done several of our 60-mile pilgrimages that we do the first week of June each year from Wichita up to Father Capon's hometown of Pilsen. And it's a 4-day walk and just a wonderful experience to slow down and to listen to the promptings of the Lord in our own life. A pilgrimage is an opportunity where the mental, physical, and spiritual all intersect. It's a hard thing to do, but he and his men are just, and women, chaplains that were serving our country. They're just wonderful examples, and it's been neat to develop a friendship with Father Matt. He's going to join us and talk. Father Capon's been a big inspiration as an Army chaplain to Father Matt. He's going to join us next week and fill that in. We've also got several ideas. The leadership group from Capon's Men has met yesterday and talked about it. We're pleased to announce we're going to continue these calls. And you can find all this information on capensmen.com. We're recording these calls now, and we'll have this one posted later today. We had Herb posted out there, and we've got Father John Lansrith, and they're in podcast format, so something you can download to your phone, and then as you're driving along, listen to this and share pretty easily with people who miss. So, again, thank you for dialing in and being a part of it. We had, like I said, 24 states represented last week. We know that's grown again this week. So thank you for that. And I'm going to close this out with, as Father Capon taught his men in the prisoner of war camp, every morning, every night, Capon's men all over, we do 3 Hail Marys. And we'll have Joe close us out with those 3 Hail Marys. So, Joe, please close us out in prayer here, and then we wish you all a good day.
We'll pray 3 Hail Marys for an increase in faith, hope, and love in our families, in our lives, just for this world. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father Capon, pray for us.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.